This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
So hello, and welcome to this edition of LGIM Talks. I'm delighted to welcome back Lisa Purdy to the podcast. Lisa is Head of DB Solutions Distribution here at LGIM, and my name's Anthony Penson, and I'm an Institutional Content Manager. Today, we're going to be discussing cash flow-driven investment, what it is, how it can be used as a strategy to help pay pensions, and what some of the alternative approaches are that are available for pension schemes. From looking at today's investment landscape for schemes, it's widely known that the higher rates we've seen have led to higher funding levels, with asset prices on average not falling as far as liability values. However, we believe it's crucial, amid all the talk of many DB schemes reaching their end game, that schemes still remain focused on their core strategy. And this is where cash flow-driven investing, or CDI as it's known, plays a key role. So to kick things off, Lisa, how would you define cash flow-driven investing?
Thanks, Anthony. So if we take it straight back to basics, the whole purpose of a pension scheme is to pay members' benefits as they fall due. So a cash flow-driven investment strategy is an investment strategy that is fully designed to provide a steady income stream in order to meet those pension payments as closely as possible.
Thanks, Lisa. So what are some of the key asset classes that schemes consider as part of CDI?
Yes, so as I said, CDI strategy is looking for assets that provide a steady income stream. Bonds of either government or corporate are one of the most popular assets for this, as they pay a steady income stream through the contractual coupon payments and the return of principal on maturity. And you can create a combination of bonds of different maturities that match your pension scheme's income requirements. And importantly, as a bond investor, you can look through movements in interest rates and yields as you are holding the bonds to maturity. And therefore, as long as you're confident that the government or that the company won't default, then you will get the income due as part of that coupon and principal. Bonds also provide an element of interest rate and inflation protection by matching the scheme's liabilities. And additionally, corporate bonds can also provide additional return above gilts, which is there to compensate for the default risk associated with holding a corporate bond above a government bond.
Thanks, Lisa. That's a great introduction to cash flow-driven investing. I think at this stage, it's important to point out that there are many different approaches that schemes can take. And one of the alternative approaches is a barbell investment strategy. Lisa, would you be able to explain what we mean by that?
So as I mentioned, the CDI strategy that we've just talked through is really about holding government and corporate bonds, whereas the barbell approach is about combining diversified growth exposure across multiple assets combined with the more traditional LDI or liability-driven investment type of strategy, i.e. matching your interest rate and inflation risks. And this approach is really looking to maximise the multi-asset diversification alongside hedging those interest rate and inflation risks as well.
So does that mean that equities can have a role to play as part of this strategy? What about dividends, for example, and what might their potential disadvantages be?
So it's important to note that dividends aren't contractual income. However, it's very possible that they can pay a steady stream of dividends that is pretty reliable. So you do get that income from them. I think the important part to note with equities is that for a traditional defined benefit scheme that, you know, is closed and maturing, it's likely at some point that that equity will need to be sold. Now, whether that's the scheme is buying out or it is in that long-term runoff and declining in value, it will need to be sold. And this is the point where there's a price risk. And that's just due to the volatile nature of equity markets, that there's a risk at the point you need to sell it, it may have fallen in value. Whereas, as I mentioned, the benefit of holding the bonds and the more traditional CDI strategy is that the bond simply runs off as you get to maturity. So you don't have that price risk.
So with that in mind, does that mean there are other investment approaches that are involved in the barbell strategy? And what might they be for a scheme that's focusing on paying pensions?
So as I mentioned, the CDI strategy is about generating some excess return whilst aligning the asset and liability cash flows and avoiding that reinvestment risk that I just mentioned with the barbell strategy. Whereas the barbell strategy is really about gaining diversification benefits using the range of asset classes. And I think an important one to note perhaps within that barbell strategy is the addition of something like short-dated credit, which may offer good diversification benefits, and it still offers that contractual cash flow, but it does introduce a reinvestment risk, which in some environments can also offer attractive returns.
I can see that there's quite a difference between those two approaches. So does whether a scheme opts for a barbell strategy or a cash flow-driven investing approach, does that depend on their endgame objectives?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if we think about buyout, insurers invest in corporate bonds as part of their portfolios. Therefore, the CDI investor, which is also investing in corporate bonds, is very much aligned with a buyout type of strategy, and it will move in line with buyout type of liabilities. In comparison, the barbell strategy wouldn't necessarily have a big allocation to credit. Therefore, if credit spreads widen, they'd see an increase in their buyout funding level, although noting that if credit spreads were to tighten, they would actually see their buyout funding level fall. So it's important to note that barbell strategy is much more open to market moves, which can be both positive and negative in terms of that buyout funding level. However, often we see with the barbell approach that perhaps if buyout isn't the focus, at least in the short term, actually that volatility doesn't matter so much.
Putting this all together, Lisa, what would you say are the key arguments in favour of a cash flow driven investing approach as opposed to a barbell strategy?
So let's start with the CDI approach. So I think the key benefit of that is the more stable contractual cash flows. And this can be more appropriate for a well-funded scheme that isn't targeting higher returns. It also provides that better match to buyout pricing. And whether that's a short-term goal or actually maybe going to pivot to that in the future, that investment in credit does really match that buyout pricing quite well. And then final positive I'd probably note is that it's also a relatively low governance solution, just in that you're investing in fewer asset classes through the LDI and the credit if we're comparing it to the barbell approach. Now, if we go on to the positives for the barbell approach, probably more appropriate for schemes that are looking for a higher return. And they may be doing this because they've got a long duration, relatively less mature, and much longer timeframes, really. They'll also have the mismatch to buyout pricing, which, as I mentioned in the previous question, can go either way in terms of having that market volatility, but it does offer the opportunity to accelerate the end game, although you would definitely have to notice that risk.
Just as a final question, in addition to paying pensions and remaining focused on the journey to end game, is there anything else you think schemes may wish to consider in today's investment landscape?
Probably quite a few different areas given the markets today, and we've very much been focused on how pension schemes can meet their cash flows. I think I'll pick three key areas. So number one, thinking about schemes that are well-funded and looking to buy out. We've touched on this, but making sure that it's not just the interest rate and inflation protection that they have in place, but also thinking about managing the credit sensitivity as well as a hedge against movements in buyout pricing. Second key area is probably ESG risks and how that fits in with a CDI strategy. A lot of CDI strategies use buy and maintain credit strategies within that as the corporate bonds. And that can be a really good area to reflect net zero and sustainable development goal alignment as you're a long-term holder of the bonds. Then the third and final point would be thinking about governance structure and how you implement these types of strategies, whether that's CDI or buyout ready or the barbell approach? How do you integrate that together and really make sure it works for you as trustees?
I think that's all for today. Lisa, thank you very much for your time. And a big thank you to everyone listening. You can find out more over at our blog at lgmblog.com. And also check out more of our episodes at LGM Talks, wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2023. Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.